It's the spring of 2002, and Jennifer Harris is in the midst of reinventing herself. The 28-year-old woman is recently divorced and still figuring out what she wants in life. While Jennifer is living with her grandmother in the small town of Bonham, Texas, she has dreams of moving somewhere more exciting. So when a friend from high school asks her to chaperone a track meet in Austin, Jennifer jumps at the chance. Little does she know, it's the last weekend of her young life. From Cold Case Productions, this is Final Days on Earth, Season 2, The Life and Death of Jennifer Harris. Episode 1, Who is Jennifer Harris? I'm your host, Claire Santamaw. Thanks for listening. The people who knew Jennifer Harris best described her as a free spirit. She had curly red hair and a personality as big as Texas.
I remember her as a very mischievous child and very colorful, meaning she was a little temperamental. I don't know if it was the red hair or what.
This is Alyssa, Jennifer's younger sister.
One time, my mom looked everywhere in the house and just called out her name and called and called and come to find out, she was on top of the refrigerator because that's where the cookie jar was, because my mom put it way up high thinking she can't get it. But she climbed up there and, like, just was sitting up there with chocolate chips all over. And
that's great.
It's just, she always just was into stuff.
The girls were 3 years apart.
For some reason, she had the passion or drama in her. So she kind of always, you know, got into some things that... you know, like I remember one time threatening that if she didn't get a chocolate bar or something, she was going to run away. And of course she packed her bag and went like two doors down. And of course my mom knew that she wasn't going to go far because she wasn't allowed to cross the street. But, she would do things like that.
This is one of Jennifer's childhood friends, Jill Wagner, in a police interview from 2002.
We were little bitty kids, and she tried to talk me into running away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got, like, to the end of the block and, you know, turned around and came back.
I told Alyssa that Jill had shared a story with investigators about Jennifer running away from home as a child.
I'm wondering if that's the same story, or did this happen multiple times that Jennifer would...
It wouldn't surprise me if it happened multiple times. I mean, she was just... We didn't really know what to do with her.
Jennifer was a wild child in more ways than one. She also loved the outdoors and animals, and especially enjoyed spending time on the lakes and rivers near her hometown of Bonham, Texas. Bonham is a rural community of about 10,000 people near the Oklahoma border, where the Red River divides the two states.
She definitely gravitated towards that, as, of course, water. She loved the oceans, the rivers, lakes especially. She had a friend who... had a boat, so anytime she could go with her to Lake Texoma to enjoy that, she would definitely be up for that.
This is Jennifer's cousin, Susan Bowen, in a police interview from 2002.
Jennifer, we called her the crunchy earth person because she was all in. She was a nature freak, and she was just real different.
Alyssa remembers her older sister sleeping out under the stars.
I think one time she even slept in a sleeping bag on the trampoline outside. Just because she just wanted to wake up with the sunrise or something. And
that's a nature lover right there.
Yeah, for sure. And she loved animals. I think she probably got a lot of that from my dad. My dad exposed us to camping and all that from an early age. So she enjoyed it for sure. I think that she'd rather be outside than inside.
Even though Jennifer was a small-town girl at heart, she had big dreams.
She saw herself maybe even potentially in New Mexico or Colorado or Arizona or something like that.
Seemingly at odds with being an offbeat nature lover, Jennifer was also a high school cheerleader.
She always loved cheerleading. When she wanted something, she would work at it and work really hard at it. And things that didn't come easy for her even. I feel like... She looked at me like everything came easy to me. And why couldn't it be more like that for her? Mm. She was all arms and legs. She was a little bit lanky, and a little awkward, but mom took her to Cheerobics. It was a place in Plano, and she worked and worked until she got everything down right, and she succeeded.
Alyssa said Jennifer's dedication was legendary.
I never will forget one of the stories that one of her friends told me was that at tryouts, she started on one end of the gym, and she started doing her tumbling pass, and she did a round off, back handspring, back handspring, back handspring, back, probably like 10 back handsprings.
Wow.
And then when she stopped, she kind of like got dizzy and kind of looked a little like cross-eyed and saw stars. And
wow.
It just cracked everyone up. She was one of two selected, I believe as sophomores, to be on varsity. She just was very headstrong. And if she got an idea in her mind, it kind of ran away with it. She would run away with it. And, she wouldn't stop until whatever it is that she thought about manifested.
Yeah, sometimes she would literally run away with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
As often happens in small towns, Jennifer fell in love at a young age. She was only in middle school when she began a relationship with Rob Hallman that would follow her the rest of her life. Here again is Jennifer's cousin, Susan.
Jennifer was in eighth grade when she started dating Rob. I mean, he was like our family.
Alyssa said the connection between the Harris and Hallman families ran deep.
I knew Rob Hallman because my mom was a teacher at Bailey English Elementary, and his mom was a teacher there as well. And my dad actually worked on the railroad, Union Pacific Railroad, with his dad. I even babysat for the Hallmans when I, was probably like in junior high.
Alyssa is hard-pressed to remember a time when Jennifer and Rob weren't together.
They were just sweethearts early on, and then they pretty much stayed that way. I mean, they had some breakups on and off, but it never lasted that long. It was kind of like bread and butter and peanut butter and jelly. It's just always Jennifer and Rob.
Like Jennifer, Rob Hallman was also a nature lover. An avid fisherman, hunter, and camper, Rob was known around Bonham for his skills as an outdoorsman.
Seemed to be like just a good old boy.
Like many so-called good old boys, Rob also enjoyed drinking beer and listening to music.
It could be anything from like bluegrass to just kind of like Texas country or Bob Dylan kind of stuff.
When you grow up in a small town like Bonham, Texas, you learn to make your own fun.
One time she had a birthday party in junior high. It was a big hayride and sleepover and just out under the stars, and it was really amazing.
In high school, a typical Saturday night for kids like Jen and Rob would include driving around back roads, finding a good place to park, and listening to music.
Tree blows against my window, there's a storm brewing in my heart. Watching credits roll on a late night TV show.
Rob's family also had a cabin.
So that's kind of where they like to go out into the woods and like hang out at the cabin with friends.
With nature as the backdrop to her childhood, it was fitting that Jennifer wanted to study marine biology in college. She enrolled at Stephen F. Austin University in Nacogdoches, Texas, and a year later, Rob Hallman followed her.
She loved the outdoors so much, and she loved the program.
Was it sort of understood that Rob would follow her there, or was that a surprise?
It was not a surprise to me because he fit in there just as much as she did. He liked the outdoors. He liked the kind of people that went there. I think that he followed how much she loved it and maybe thought, well, if she's in love with it so much, then this is what I'll do too.
Jennifer graduated with 2 degrees, one in marine biology and one in nutrition. Soon after, she and Rob got engaged and started planning their wedding. But the normally happy time also had a heaviness to it.
My mom was sick with cancer. She had brain cancer. And I feel like it was a little bit rushed because she wanted her to take part and be a part of it.
Jennifer was 22 years old and Rob was 21 when they walked down the aisle in August of 1996.
I just remember a feeling of, at the wedding at least, a feeling of just kind of him doing what he had to do or something. He was part of the Jennifer show, you know? I'm sure he had his friends egging him on, like, oh, man, another one bites the dust and things like that. But to be honest, I never got a close feeling with Rob. We weren't close because I felt like I couldn't get close to him. I don't know that he wanted to break down any barriers at all. You would just think that for the amount of years that I spent with them together, that he would feel like a brother.
Yeah.
It just never felt that way. It just, he was very closed off.
Jennifer's mom passed away 1 year after her daughter's wedding.
My mom died in August of 97. She was 47 years old.
Oh my goodness, so young.
I know.
After Jennifer and Rob got married, they moved to Carrollton, a suburb of Dallas. Rob worked at a landscaping company, and Jennifer was a nutritionist at Parkland Hospital. It should have been the honeymoon period of their marriage, newlyweds in their first house and first real jobs. But Alyssa saw signs of trouble early on.
She didn't seem happy. It wasn't kind of the job that she thought it would be. She thought she would be more one-on-one with people, and instead it turned out to be more of a desk job. So she was kind of in a rut. I also feel like she was trying to grieve the loss of my mother. She felt a little bit guilty as well, I think, because while she was her sickest, she was planning this wedding. And I think that was a way for her to deflect. When you don't want to face something, you take on something else and you just go full force with it.
Totally,
and so I think that it was all kind of coming home to her and hitting home. She knew that she wanted to, in her mind, like, work in this holistic wellness area where it could involve anything from acupuncture to yoga to massage therapy or herbs or something like that. I don't know, but she was really into all that. And I think that her big goal was to open her own wellness center.
While Jennifer still had big dreams, Alyssa was starting to wonder if Rob fit into them anymore.
I feel like his goal was to always go back to Lamasco, Texas, or Bonham, or somewhere surrounding, and live, you know, in the country or something.
And what about Jennifer?
Jennifer loved to live in the country, but she didn't see any opportunity there. And she also was, I don't know how to put this. She also pushed Rob a little bit harder than Rob pushed Rob in terms of motivation. I think that he would have been comfortable just paycheck to paycheck and just being comfortable with the bare minimum. So he kind of had a 9-to-5 or whatever, and he would come home and drink beer. And he was close to Addison, which at the time had like a record store, I believe, where he could go and find hard to find music, you know, the kind that he liked. He did not like the city. That wasn't what his wheelhouse was. It was more about like staying home, listening to music, eating, drinking, being chill and laid back.
Jennifer, meanwhile, had other ideas.
She wanted him to try to find his potential. And one of those ways actually was finding a job opening that fit him to a T, and it was in Austin, Texas. I know that they came down to interview for it. I don't know if he blew it off or if he just didn't show up well or didn't do a good job with it. I don't know, but it sounded to me like she implied that he didn't want to move there. He didn't want to be that far from home. And so she was disappointed. I feel like she saw herself maybe even potentially in New Mexico or Colorado or Arizona or something like that. And which sounds like something Rob would like too, considering he likes the outdoors.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he didn't have the confidence or security to leave any place further from Dallas, apparently, than where he grew up.
Do you think that was one of the things that drove a wedge between them?
I think so, yes. There was tension.
Although Rob wasn't looking for a change, Jennifer was, and she started pouring herself into a new career in the wellness industry.
I know that she went ahead full force. I went with her actually to Oak Lawn to pick up her first massage table. At the same time, I feel like Rob was getting even more disgruntled, and so he was drinking more, and he was coming home, and he was not very affectionate. He was just kind of more standoffish, and I guess you would just say just unhappy.
Perhaps thinking a change of scenery would help their marriage, Jennifer and Rob moved to a new house in nearby Louisville, and Jennifer started working as a massage therapist.
Once she got certified, she began doing, you know, massage therapy out of, like, places that booths you can rent, like at spas and places.
Okay.
And then that's where she met James Hamilton.
James Hamilton was an Army vet in his early 30s who had lived all over the world. He was born in Kentucky and joined the military right out of high school. After airborne school in Fort Benning, Georgia, James was stationed in Italy and Germany. James had two kids from a relationship with a woman now living in Colorado, and he was trying to start over in Texas with a career as a massage therapist. Alyssa remembers the first time she met James.
My first impression was he kind of was like a Kid Rock look, not like the clean-cut person that she's always, you know, had around. And he seemed shy, number one, but also a little mysterious to me.
Jennifer had described James as a friend and potential business partner in her wellness center. But after a visit to Jennifer and Rob's new house, Alyssa wondered if there was something else going on with Jennifer and James.
When I went up to Louisville and I did get to meet James, at that time, Rob wasn't around. I went to their home and I saw broken boards and things. Mm. And I was like, what is this? And Jennifer was like, oh, man, you know, James was over here trying to help me sand these boards and paint them and stuff because he was just trying to help. And Rob just got so upset, he just broke them all and just sat there and just broke them. And then I went inside and there was a big hole in the wall. And that's where Rob punched the wall and his hand went through the wall.
Oh, wow.
So that was something else that James was trying to do, was patch up this thing and like this, you know, plasterboard. And I don't know, it seemed very unhealthy. I think that's about the time when they decided to go their separate ways, and Jennifer just said, I want a divorce. So I don't know exactly when Rob moved out, but he moved out.
Citing discord of personalities, Jennifer and Rob's divorce was finalized in October 2000. Jennifer threw herself into her new business and a new relationship with James Hamilton. In short order, the couple got an apartment in Frisco, Texas, and found a nearby location for their wellness center.
As far as I know, they had investors. They were getting up and running. They were putting a lot of work into it. I know James was really working hard.
In a 2002 interview with investigators, James described working on the business 24/7 and said he and Jennifer frequently put in long hours, well into the night, to get the company off the ground. All their hard work eventually paid off. In 2001, Stone Lee Massage and Wellness opened its doors for business.
It seemed to be going pretty well. I mean, I was impressed with the facility and the services they offered, and it was really nice, and I thought that it was going to do really well, actually.
On the outside, life looked good for Jennifer, but her sister Alyssa could tell something was off.
Jennifer worried me, though. For some reason, I don't know if she was exhausted, or if she was second-guessing things. She seemed to be very down.
Although she was passionate about wellness and nutrition, Jennifer didn't seem to be taking very good care of her own health.
I had put on a little weight, and actually, to her, it would probably be like a lot of weight. It was probably about, you know, kind of like 15 pounds or something. She didn't feel good in her clothes, and she felt just very depressed. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed it, and I kind of wanted to be like, just snap out of it. But then I didn't really understand mental health at that time. And I think that there was something going on more than in her mind than I knew.
Jennifer put everything she had into Stone Lee Massage and Wellness and recruited family members to help.
I think even my cousin Susan would go and like man the phones or something like that. I was there for their grand opening. I kind of helped them with catering and just things like that.
Susan remembered how passionate Jennifer was about the wellness center and her new relationship with James.
She told me that her and James had so much in common and that she found somebody that would buy into her dreams. I said, you're just a big dreamer. And she said, but I found someone that would pour everything they had into that business with me.
The center had started with a lot of promise, but in the fall of 2001, the whole world changed with the events on 9/11.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
I really feel like that was part of the downfall of their business, was people weren't spending money at that time on you know, all kinds of excessive,
sure.
You know.
Suddenly we were a nation at war, right?
Yeah, and just business wasn't good at all, whereas before it had been.
Here again is Jennifer's cousin, Susan Bowen.
She got real depressed, I guess, in the fall. Because she was always moping around, and she would always be like, I'm depressed, I don't want this business anymore.
Alyssa remembers the pressure adding up.
Their expenses just were enormous. So they did eventually, you know, she had to say, you can buy me out, but I need to get out.
James tried to find more investors and keep the business afloat, but by February 2002, Stone Lee Massage and Wellness had closed its doors for good.
It seemed to happen very fast. I do think that there were times where once she did get out of the business, there was some turbulence between she and James.
As the business dissolved, so did Jennifer and James's relationship. This is James talking about their breakup in a 2002 interview with investigators.
Jennifer was very evasive when she would speak with me, which would cause a lot of the, insecurity in our relationship. When she would state that she's moved on, she didn't want it, I just took that as though there wasn't necessarily anybody else in the picture. I just took it as though she just was certain that she didn't want our relationship and that she was happy, you know, with being free right now until she could figure herself out.
With nothing left to keep her in Frisco, Jennifer did something no one really expected. She decided to move back to her hometown of Bonham, Texas. In March 2002, Jennifer was 28 years old, divorced, and living with her grandmother.
I went home to Bonham, and my dad had a Jeep, and we decided to take a Jeep ride through the country. I just remember seeing her just staring out, like just out in the middle of nowhere, just staring. And normally this person who was just like so wanting to cuddle and give me a hug and come over here and, you know, just very affectionate or else really silly or, hey, let's go do this. Hey, let's go jump in the lake real quick and then jump out or something. Who knows? But like, she wasn't the same person.
No one knew exactly what was different about Jennifer at the time, and no one could have guessed the turn that her life was about to take. According to a report from the Fannin County Sheriff's Office, 2 weeks before her disappearance, Jennifer pulled her wedding photos and video out of storage, and she asked her grandmother to look at them with her. information that her sister Alyssa was surprised to learn.
It was my understanding that Rob was completely out of the picture, that he had moved on, that he had a new girlfriend.
After the wellness center folded, the sisters had started spending more time together again, with Jennifer often driving to see Alyssa in Austin. One of those visits was the weekend of May 4th, 2002.
She came and stayed with me. She had her dog, Patton, a black lab that she loved, and she was happy to be in Austin. It was something that kind of like gave her a breath of fresh air. We would go to creeks and water holes and things like that where like the dog could swim and jump, and like she just loved it.
Although Jennifer seemed happier than before, Alyssa still couldn't shake that sister's intuition that something was wrong.
But when we were, say, in the car or just kind of, you know, driving around, she you could feel a heaviness.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I tried to, like, get her spirits up. And I was like, oh, by the way, did you know that there's a Nia place here?
Nia is a holistic fitness practice that blends yoga, martial arts, dance, and mindfulness. It stands for Neuromuscular Integrative Action. And in 2002, it was taking the wellness world by storm. To say Nia was a stretch for Alyssa would be an understatement, but she agreed to take a class with Jennifer and Austin.
I never will forget going, what is going on? I felt like I was like in a seance or some kind of like cult or something. I don't know. It wasn't like that at all, of course. It was really nice. But it was basically just, you know, take off your shoes and just move about however you'd like, according to like the music and whatever moved you. And at the same time, kind of in sync with everyone, even though you're not touching, it's not like that. But it was just very much like, just kind of dancing to the beat of your own drum, and it was actually a good release, and I giggled so hard because I looked at her and I just thought, what are we doing? But then I never felt closer to her than after that. When we left that place, and I said, thanks for doing that, you know, because one thing that I struggle with is that, ironically, before she was killed was the point in time when we were getting closer.
Yeah.
We started to have a connection that, as I think adults, would have grown and blossomed.
Another event that stood out from Jennifer's weekend in Austin was a request she made.
She said, hey, can you take me to Waterloo Records? That was a big store in Austin that sold, believe it or not, at the time, like records and CDs and, you know, music, yeah, like that, before Apple, iTunes and stuff. And so I said, sure. And so I took her, and I noticed she bought a CD by Reckless Kelly. And I said, what's this? And she said, oh, this is Reckless Kelly. Have you heard of them? And I'm like, no, actually, I don't think I have. But they were, I believe, a Texas band. I'm not sure, the local band, and I was just kind of wondered, like, that's really not your kind of music. She was kind of more into like Enya, and it didn't really seem fitting, and I just thought, what is she getting this for? And then we were driving around because it's so beautiful in the Lake Travis area to drive around, and I was just showing her sights, and she said, wow, it's just so gorgeous here. I would love to live here. And I said, well, you know, maybe you should find a job here, or you could probably interview for some. And so she thought about it. But while we were driving around, she did mention, well, you know, Rob has a new girlfriend, Sarah Beth. And I said, oh, really? And she's like, yeah. I said, well, how does that make you feel? She said, well, I don't know. And I got the sense that she was having some sort of like second thoughts. And she even told me, she said, do you think I should have divorced Rob? I don't know. And I said, I think what you're going through is something most people go through once they aren't around normalcy and what they're used to. And it's hard to be alone or by yourself. And all you want is a person in your life. I think it's somebody. I don't think it's Rob. I think you're trying to fill a void with Rob, but because that's what you've always come back to.
Sensing the weight of Jennifer's mood, Alyssa suggested they do something to lighten up, and the sisters capped off their girls' weekend with a pedicure.
I thought it might help her, you know, feel better. And just, we were just trying to do girly things. I never will forget. She got like this little flower on her toenail. And I was like, that's so silly. I'm like, you're such a little hippie. And like, we would laugh and everything. And because she really was, I mean, she was just such a good hearted person. And I was the very much like the ballet pink, very classic, you know, mani pedi. And then here she is with these little flowers on her toes and stuff.
Soon after, Alyssa and Jennifer parted ways, not knowing it would be one of the last happy memories they would have together. The next weekend, Jennifer ended up coming to Austin again, this time to chaperone the Bonham High School girls' track meet. It was a favor for an old friend who was coaching the team and needed a female chaperone for the overnight trip.
We like went to lunch and I kind of drove her around a little bit to talk and you just show her some things, but we kind of got in an argument. It was about a relationship I was going through. And basically, I'd gotten engaged. And so she was like, she was just saying things like, well, you know, you probably shouldn't have a wedding. Just keep the money and get in a house because, you know, weddings are stupid. And I'm like thinking, this is my wedding. I have dreamt of my wedding since I was 3 years old. And so now is the time. And now you're telling me like, poo-poo, you know, you don't need all that and all that. And so I don't know. I just was kind of taking it personally. Anyway, we didn't leave it like so great. So for that reason, I wanted to call her the next day, which was Mother's Day. And I did a few times try to get in touch with her. And I just wanted to apologize and be like, I understand you're just sharing your perspective and I appreciate it. And I also wanted to ask her to be my maid of honor. Mm-hmm. And I just never got a chance to.
This season on Final Days on Earth, the life and death of Jennifer Harris.
And so she came over and then told me, you're not going to believe, you know, the mess I'm in.
It's Mother's Day weekend, and Jennifer Harris has a big secret.
She didn't want anyone in our family or anyone in Bonham knowing the things that she did. So everything was Jennifer's little kept secret.
Did she ever express to you that she was fearful or scared of anyone? Did she ever expressed to you that she thought anybody had been following her or anything weird going on?
Final Days on Earth is recorded in Dallas, Texas for Cold Case Productions in partnership with Podcast One. Each episode is written and reported by me, Claire Sanima. Audio production by Matthew Malinger of Podcast One. Original theme music composed and performed by Riley Simmons. Associate producer is April Scales. Editorial consultant is Lucy Scott of LucyMedia.com. Executive producers are Sharon Richards and me, Claire Sanima. Special thanks to Alyssa Harris-Wernick for talking to me in this episode. If you have any information about the unsolved murder of Jennifer Harris, contact the Fannin County Sheriff's Department at 903-583-2143.